Hey, Craig's back. Nice.
Craig's back, baby. How are you feeling after our long ass draft yesterday?
It wasn't as long as I thought it would be. I thought it would be like 4 or 5 hours.
Welcome to TH Fantasy. This is episode 46. I'm Tony. This is Ryan. Craig is with us. We co-manage a team on a 14-team Super Flex Football Absurdity Experts League. And it
It was an
was,
auction draft.
yeah, it was fucking grueling, man. Like, it got pretty grisly at some points, but I think we managed to pull out a decent team. We'll talk a little bit about the guys that we picked, why we picked them, hopefully make it relevant to you and your teams, because all of a sudden, Ryan, people are like downloading this podcast.
I don't know why. Like.
Yeah. Well, we're going to try to do the best we can to make it worth your while, all you Russian bots that are downloading our podcast.
Yes,
So,
thank you to the actual maybe 20 people who actually download and
yeah,
listen to it.
for real. And please, like, honestly, if you send us shit on our Twitter account, which is TH Fantasy, like messages and stuff, we'll talk about it on the air.
Yeah, we can answer draft questions. I mean, that'll probably only be relevant for next week's episode, but.
Oh yeah. And well, and we'll respond in DMs too. If you DM us, ask us something, we'll talk about it
Yeah.
and figure it out.
Start sit questions, anything.
Oh yeah. So for those of you that are new, each episode we start with like a remember a guy, and today is episode 46. So we're gonna remember the number 46 in sports somehow. So Ryan, why don't you get us started?
So yeah, we're like Tony said, we're on number 46, and actually someone that we looked at this week that wears number 46 is a former Chicago Bear. Actually has two different segments to talk about.
Yeah.
We're gonna talk about who he is, his life, and also the defense that was created because of him.
Yep.
So this week we're talking about Mr. Doug Plank, former safety for the Chicago Bears from 1975 to 82. He was pretty good, and he got banged up a lot. He maybe could have made it to play into the Bears 85 season, but like he was known for hitting really hard. So
Doug Plank is like the best name for like a hard-hitting safety.
yeah, he was, according to Buddy Ryan, he was one of the best hitting players in all of football.
Yeah.
So like we said, number safety for the Chicago Bears. He went to high school in Pennsylvania, where he played baseball, basketball, and football.
Very
Played
nice.
all three sports and was really good at all of them. His senior year, he was like the MVP for that conference, the Foothills Conference for football.
Right.
His high school batting average of 526, which is ridiculous. Is or was a school record for over 30 years. It got broken recently. Then he went on to play college at Ohio State,
Ooh.
where he got to be a part of three Big Ten titles
Wow.
under, I can't remember the famous coach that was back in that era, but he was a famous Ohio State coach.
Is that Woody Hayes?
Might have been, yeah.
We're committing sacrilege by not remembering this right now.
So in 1975, the Bears drafted Doug Plank. He spent all 8 years of his career with the Bears. He was the favorite player for Mr. Buddy Ryan, the famous defensive coach for the Chicago Bears. You know, the guy who famously coached the defense in the 85 Super Bowl.
As far as I know, he's the only coordinator to also get carried off the field on his players' shoulders.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So because he was the favorite player of Coach Buddy Ryan, he naturally named a defense after Mr. Doug Plank's jersey number 46, the 4-6 defense. He was a him and this other player were known as the Hitmen, and on
Gary
part of the
Fensick.
Bears. Yeah. They were even mentioned in the Super Bowl shuffle.
Oh yeah. Gary Fensick Gary Fensick's still part of the Bears. Like, he still does, like, play-by-plays for the local affiliates and stuff.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, he's still around. He went to Harvard, man. He was a smart dude.
Oh, that's crazy. I didn't know that.
The Hitman.
Hell yeah. So he did a lot of stuff in his career. He had like 115 interception return yards. I can't remember how many tackles. He was a great all-around player.
Yeah.
After football, get this. He ran 20 Burger Kings in three different states.
Fuck yeah. That's made what I'm talking about.
Yeah, he went into business, like, do biz, like, hardcore after football.
He's a businessman. So
he made a bunch of money off of that, sold his shares, and then became a sports analyst for the NFL and the NCAA. He was also a coach for no really big teams, but he coached some teams. Now he's a real estate investor in Arizona.
It's so interesting to me that, like, as a safety, you always try to make the game play out in front of you so you have it your way. So then he runs a Burger King where he's letting other people have it their way.
It my way 20 times.
It takes a big man to give up that type of control, you know? And so I admire that.
It's rumored that he's actually the person that wears the King costumes in the Burger King commercials. He lived an interesting life, and he's still alive. And like most Chicago residents, he retired and moves to Arizona.
Oh, yeah. If you'll recall, the Bears have like a super fan, kind of like the Jets had the fireman Ed. He wears like the taxidermied bear hat, and he paints his face orange. You know what I'm talking about? He wears like the bear claws.
Yeah.
He wears a Doug Plank jersey.
That's right.
Yep. So Doug Plank, so we just talked a little bit about the man. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the system, okay? So when I'm researching 46, I found a couple of guys that were interesting, like Don Fleming, who was on a Hall of Fame trajectory before dying of electrocution as his part-time job as a construction worker.
Oh, my God.
Or I could have talked about Ricky Harris, who has the NFL record with a negative 28-yard punt return.
What? Negative 28?
Yeah. I tried to find the highlight, dude. I spent like a good 20 minutes looking for it, and I couldn't find it. That's
almost as good as the negative 19.
Oh, dude, it's even better. So I think I'm going to use my 46 to talk about the 1985 Bears defense. The 46 alignment was their base package.
Sure.
So I'm going to explain it a little because I'm going to say something that's going to get me canceled by the Chicago sports media in Chicago. If the Bears faced the Dolphins in the Super Bowl in early 1986, they would have lost to them for the second time that year. Wow. So let me explain the 46 a little bit. It can be operated out of a 4-3 or a nickel, right? So you got four down linemen, three linebackers, two safeties, two cornerbacks.
Sure.
But you could do a nickel. So anyways, your best defensive lineman, like your Aaron Donald, would be lined up directly over the center. And then your two outside defensive linemen are lined up over the guard, center, and tackle. So it's like an uneven defensive front.
Yeah.
So then all three of your linebackers line up on the same side as the tight end or the strong side of the offense. So two of them are on the line of scrimmage itself, making it look like it's a six-man defensive line. The corners face the receivers straight up on the outside. The free safety plays center field, and the strong safety plays in the other off-the-ball linebacker spot. So it looks like a 6-2-3.
Nice.
And that second linebacker spot played by the safety was called the 46 because it was Doug Plank. And what he could do was he could stuff the run, he could blitz, or he could kick into coverage just as well as anybody else on the team, and that's why he was so pivotal for the defense.
That's awesome.
He was the coach on the defense. He would make all the adjustments and be like, you're doing this, you're doing this, because they ran out of the 46 all the time.
Yeah.
So against three wide receiver sets, they would shift to what they call a Jayhawk, where the safety, Doug Plank, would jump out to cover the slot receiver, and then you'd pull one of those linebackers off the line to take his spot. So the beauty of the 46 is pressure. Since the interior of the line is being pushed up the middle, and even when defending a pass formation, there's always five rushers. No matter what.
Okay.
The only loss the Bears had in 85 was to the Dolphins, led by Dan Marino. Dude, I watched it. I told you last night while we were drafting. I watched that game. It's on YouTube. Like, he was exposing those motherfuckers. He was that good. So the 46 means you have man coverage across the board. So when Miami would pull their tight end and use a third wide receiver and had two backs as pass catching options, they put Marino in the shotgun so he could make the quick read. So if you're watching, it's just short pass, short pass, short pass. And something I didn't know because I was born in 1986, like, young Dan Marino was super mobile, super agile.
Yeah.
So he's breaking the pocket and making throws on the run. Like, they had Mark Duper, Mark Clayton. Like, the Bears had no chance. The Dolphins' attack was paced closer to, like, a modern NFL offense. So when the Bears couldn't keep pace with their scoring, they started turning the ball over, and by then the game was done. So if the Dolphins had beaten the Patriots in the AFC Championship that year and the rematch took place at Super Bowl 20, I think the Dolphins' offense would have done the same thing, because that's how pressure-based defenses are beat. Short passes that exploit the man coverage that the 46 necessitates. The 46 defense of the Chicago Bears.
Hell yeah. Mr. Isotoner himself was the only one to pick it apart.
Yeah. I mean, he could have been. I think he would have beaten the Bears for the Super Bowl that year.
Does anyone utilize that defense today?
There are some college defenses that do that. It's kind of what you'll see is more of an adjustment. Like, sometimes it'll be used in like red zone situations inside the 5, inside the 10. But it's tough because it is totally defeated by the spread
often. Yeah. It's kind of irrelevant nowadays because there's a more passing attack game.
You see it in high schools a lot because high schools are run heavy programs. Yeah. So you'll see stuff like that, especially in Illinois, because they're like, yeah, remember the Bears?
Right. Yeah.
All right. So let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about this 14 team, full league, full PPR, 14 team, full PPR, super flex salary cap auction draft that we did yesterday.
So initially, we were talking and our plan was just like, let's just get Allen. Screw it. We'll pay up to like $60 to get him. And I think, what did he go for? 62?
Yeah, he went for just a little over 60.
So we brought up the bid to about 60. And honestly, in all actuality, we should have just said screw it and got him. But we got out of the race, and Waleed ended up getting him.
Yeah, we ended up with Murray and Carr as our.
We got Murray for $45, and what did we get Carr for? Like,
we got Carr for $39. We got screwed because Carr was last of a tier,
right?
But Kyler for $45 is a deal. We ended up stacking Carr and Davante Adams, who we ended up paying $42 for, but that's fine. That was about market average,
right?
We went and got J.K. Dobbins and A.J. Dillon as our running backs. I think both of these guys are in timeshares, but they're going to end up carving out running back 2 roles. Davante Adams is a top 5 wide receiver, like, period.
Yes. Yes.
And this is something that I kind of want to talk about as general strategy. If you're starting 2 wide receivers in a 12-team league, you are losing money or position if you start a guy that is, you know, wide receiver 22 or above.
Okay.
With 14 teams, if we have any of the top 28 wide receivers, we're doing all right. You know what I mean? And so having Davante Adams and then Amon-Ra St. Brown as our second wide receiver in a league that only starts 2 wide receivers, I think that's perfect, because we got a guy that's going to be flirting with the top 10 every week and a guy that's going to be flirting with the top 20 every week.
Sure.
So Ryan and I we hammered Dobbins for 13, but when Dillon got more expensive, Ryan was like, no, let's get Dillon. If we need to push, we need to push. So where's that coming from, Ryan? Why are you high on Dillon? Let's talk a little bit about it.
I think I'm just following the narrative of Jones potentially not being a 50-50 split. And I think Dillon, it could be more 60-40, 65-35. Towards the end of the year. So I think maybe off the bat, they're going to experiment. And who knows, Jones, a lot older, he could get injured. And then it's Dillon's backfield then.
Yeah.
And he did look very good last year within that same system. And the fact that they don't have Adams anymore means that Green Bay might have to rely a little bit more on the run this year. So even if it is 50-50, it's going to be more snaps for both of them anyway.
Right, and Dillon has been catching passes a lot in training camp. They've been raving about his pass-catching ability.
Yeah.
And he led the team last year in red zone carries. Like, that's going to happen again.
Yeah.
So we went Goddard cheap as our tight end for $5, which I think is reasonable with a $200 budget. Kareem Hunt, I think, is an interesting play for us because there's a lot up in the air for him, but at $7 as a flex play, I think that's a great move.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We got J.K. Dobbins as our other running back, who I think, similarly to Dillon, is a guy that's going to start slow. We have a lot of guys that I think are going to come on in like October, November, December.
Exactly. Should help us. And remember the rule. Your fantasy championships aren't won within the first 4 or 5 weeks of this, right, of the season. You can lose 4 games in a row right off the bat and still come back and get, which I'm not saying we're going to do.
Right.
But if you play for futures, potential futures, you could have a really balls out team by the end of the year and be really good for the playoffs.
And I think this hits Ryan personally because Ryan was, what, 5-0 last year? And then the wheels fell off.
Yeah. Well, because that was because of Derrick Henry.
Right. Everyone started getting hurt. And I think it's just super important that you recognize that patience is a virtue when you're drafting your fantasy teams. Like, you have to be willing to lose a couple times in the first couple weeks without getting anxious and dumping all your guys that aren't contributing right away.
Correct, yeah. You're always going to have those fantasy players who take risks on some of those rookies, and then when they don't do anything in the first 2-3 weeks, they dump them, and then I don't know. I love that because then I benefit on the waiver wire and I just go and pick them up and stash them until they start doing well.
And I think we were more proactive at doing that this year because we snagged for our bench Kenneth Gainwell, Tyler Allgeier, and Desmond Ridder, all players who I think will have more value near the middle to end of the season.
Allgeier looked really good in yesterday's game. I think he had at least one touchdown.
He had two. And I think Damian Williams actually is probably the opening week starter on that team. But I think as the year goes on, I think Allgeier is going to get more snaps.
Yeah, I think it'll be his team by midway of the year. And I think Ridder could potentially be starting midway through the year.
I agree. And then we balance that out, I think, with a little bit more of our safe plays. We got Tyler Boyd for $2. We put $1 down and won Jarvis Landry, who I think is an absolute steal.
Yeah, I want a lot of parts of the wide receivers in that offense with Winston. If Winston stays healthy, there's potential for a 5,000-yard season. And
right.
With Callaway, Olave, he's just going to be spreading the ball around. And
right.
Especially in the NFC South, there could be some shootouts where he just has to throw the whole game.
And I am a fan of, and I'll subscribe this to anyone listening to this podcast, stack your fucking quarterbacks, man. Stack your quarterbacks. Like, if you're investing high in a quarterback, the best stack in the game that we watched Waleed do because we didn't have the money was Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. I'm paying a good price for that stack.
Yeah.
So we stacked Rondale Moore.
Right. Like we said, we stacked Carr with Adams, and we put a bid in on Hopkins, but we wussed out towards the end. We didn't want to pay for him. So we ended up stacking him with Moore.
And
good.
Well, he looked decent. And the thing is we don't need anybody to get hurt to know what role Rondale Moore has in that offense. We'll know what his role is in that offense by week 3. And
right.
if it's still they're just going to throw to him 1.2 yards behind or from the line of scrimmage, then we don't need that.
Yeah. Of course.
So I think for people that are listening, like, the goal here is not to brag about our players, but to talk a little bit about the guys that we liked and then also the ideas behind bench construction. Like,
yeah, of course. And this is a super deep league. So I like our lineup, especially for a 14 team league. It doesn't seem that great on paper, but when you remember that the player pool is crazy diminished when you get to 14. I think it's bad when you're doing 12, but 14 right. is even crazier. So right. we got some pretty good guys for a 14 team league. We don't really have anyone that's like a third running back anywhere or a crazy, stupid sleeper wide receiver that's not going to do anything in the beginning of the season.
No Kyle Phillips.
Right.
I think we did a good job of mixing teams a little bit, and I will say this plan was hatched because I support my dude Ryan when he says Carta Adams is going to be the stack to play this year. Let's do it. Let's put our money where our fucking mouth is. Our oh, yeah. team is the TH Fantasy team. It's not the Tony with co-manager Ryan team or Ryan with co-manager Tony team. Like, we're doing this together. So this is my first time that I've drafted with a partner. So this has been a lot of fun, and it's something that I suggest for people.
Yeah, I had never done it either. And it was just cool to be on the Discord and talk strategy while the draft was live. So
yeah. So let's move on. We'll move on to part three. I have a little bit of preseason news roundup for you, Ryan. Some interesting sure. facts here. Justin Fields looked real nice yesterday. 3 touchdown passes.
Oh my God, Fields was like miraculous.
The offensive line looked good. Dante Pettis, Ryan Griffin catching a touchdown pass.
Yeah. Pettis was cool too. Was Pettis, is he listed as a wide receiver?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So Griffin looks to be a lock to be the Bears tight end too. I don't know how much two tight end they're going to use this year, but it's something to be mindful of when thinking about Cole Kmet.
Yeah. Kmet got a touchdown too.
Dan Arnold per PFF is the tight end 4 in Jacksonville this year.
That's crazy.
Behind Evan Engram, Chris Manhertz, and Luke Farrell.
I'll tell you what, I'll be playing some Dan Arnold and some DFS.
Tight end 4 though. I mean, we'll see. They're talking that he might be a cut candidate.
I don't know. He looked pretty good. He had some chemistry with Lawrence last year.
Right.
You know what? I don't even care because you know what's going to happen? Evan Engram's going to get hurt. So,
oh, for sure. Or suck.
Right.
All right. So as of right now, it looks like Treylon Burks is wide receiver 4 in Tennessee based on who played last night. Like Nick Westbrook, Akine sat. Robert Woods played briefly. Burks was in with the 2s. Kyle Phillips looks to be the week 1 slot and team's overall wide receiver 3. But you know what this means? Burks is going to be cheap, baby. Burks yeah. is going to be cheap. I want Treylon Burks, dude. Like, Burks caught a touchdown pass last night. It's not like he was covered. It wasn't like a mind-blowing play. But, like, Treylon Burks is a really good football player, and I like really good football players.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's like why we watch football. My pre-draft tight end 3, Isaiah Likely, got rest with all of Baltimore's starters in week 3. Do you think that Isaiah Likely is the tight end 2 in Baltimore this year?
I do, and actually he's one of my DFS tight ends I'll be playing.
Okay. Cool. Let's talk more about that in a bit then. PFF labeled Raheem Mostert as a top 2 back in Miami's offense this year. What do you think? You like Raheem Mostert at all this year?
He had that crazy run Friday or Saturday night.
He's good. He's a good running back.
He's decent. Yeah.
Devin Singletary and Zach Moss both sat in the last preseason game. The only guy that we expect for Buffalo's running game to be exciting that played was James Cook. So is James Cook the RB3 in this offense? Something to think about.
I could see the narrative of him potentially getting the starting role by the end of the year. That's what everyone keeps saying. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I'm fine with holding James Cook because Devin Singletary and Zach Moss are going to go out there and play like Devin Singletary and Zach Moss.
Yeah, exactly.
And Buffalo's going to be like, yeah, dude, let's bring in the fast, exciting guy.
Right.
And then the last little tidbit I had here was Ty Montgomery left on a cart. So I really got to think Ramondre's the pass catching back this year.
Sure. Yeah. And yeah.
Dude, if Ramondre's, the bigger the role for Ramondre, the higher the ceiling.
Yeah, I drafted him in a best ball the other day.
Yeah, the best ball we did together.
And I did him in another one too. Just as soon as James White retired, I was like, all right, I got to get some shares of this guy.
I will say before we move on to part four, we did a best ball draft together, Ryan and I, and someone took Houston's Dameon Pierce at 6:08. The eighth pick of round six, which is comical. so stupid. So this is for those of you that are kind of new, back in our early days, we would do Ryan's stone cold tight end, shitty tight end, deep sleeper lock play of the week, where his goal was to find the tight end that you could afford cheap on DFS sites that's going to catch you maybe two balls for 10 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, and now that we're back into early season football, we'll get back to this segment. So,
is this a season-long thing?
Yeah, we can make it an every episode thing during the regular season.
So these are Ryan's guys that he wants you to be on the lookout for this year on DFS slates.
Yeah, and some guys may stay the same every week. You know, some guys might not be shitty anymore. They may become like integral parts of their offense. I'm just trying to pick out, like Tony said, some really cheap guys so you can afford some more salary for better players in your lineups. And obviously by picking someone like this in your DFS lineup, it'll make it more unique because the chance of this player being 1 or 2% owned, it's gonna make your lineups very unique.
Yep.
So one guy I want to talk about, potential, who looked really good in last week's preseason game, Mr. Jody Fortson. All right. I always thought that it would be Noah Gray backing up Kelsey in Kansas City. Fortson came out, caught two touchdowns in the game, looked really, really good. So we'll see where he's listed once the regular season starts. But I don't see any reason why he would be cut or anything like that. Noah Gray basically did next to nothing in the preseason.
Well, he got hurt. He got hurt in the Bears game.
Yeah, that's true.
No, wait. It was Blake Bell that got hurt. Sorry, Noah Gray didn't do anything in the preseason. Blake Bell got hurt.
Yeah.
Last year, Jody Fortson caught 5 passes for 47 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Right. So he's got that touchdown potential. He's not going to get a lot of volume of passes. But if you go into week 2 and want to take a dice roll and he gets a touchdown that week, you never know.
Yeah, I like that.
Another player Tony mentioned earlier, Isaiah Likely. Studying under Mark Andrews, he's going to be developed into a very good tight end, especially because that team loves throwing to the tight end. And with all the attention being paid to Andrews, it leaves more chance for Likely to be open. So yeah, I really like him this year. He should be cheap at the beginning of the year. He's probably going to be one of those players that gradually gets more expensive as the year continues, because I think he's going to carve out a role in that offense. But
yeah,
to start the year, take a dice roll. He's going to be less than 5,000 for sure on FanDuel.
And the Ravens in 2021 had 22 personnel, which is 2 backs and 2 tight ends, 13% of the time. And then 12 personnel, which is 1 back and 2 tight ends, 8% of the time. So 21% of Ravens offensive snaps have a second tight end on the field.
Yep.
So if Nick Boyle is demoted to tight end 3 or even cut, Isaiah Likely is a guy that's going to be a very intriguing DFS play.
Oh, yeah. I got 2 more.
No, it's not 2 more.
One is Mr. Daniel Bellinger. He's potentially could be the tight end 1 for the Giants this year. Now, I know it's the Giants. I know it's the Giants. So don't give me any comments because I'm picking someone from the Giants offense. But
no hate.
He could make for an interesting red zone target for Daniel Jones. I mean, granted, if they ever get to the red zone. but
I mean, he still looks like their starting tight end.
Right. So, and like I said, just like Isaiah Likely, he's going to be one of those guys for maybe the first half of the season. He's going to be way under $5,000 in salary. It's going to be super cheap. Unless, like I said, he starts carving out that role. He could be one of those guys that catches 5, 6, 7 touchdowns this year from Jones.
So what I like about these plays is, obviously for all positions, you know, but for deep tight ends especially, it's all about opportunity. Like, how many snaps are you playing?
Right.
How many of those snaps are passing plays?
Right.
Like, how many routes are you going to run? So, like, there's, if Daniel Bellinger is the number one tight end in New York, you got to assume that, like, look at how, you know, Buffalo, where Dable was last year, look at how that offense utilized the tight end. Dawson Knox had like 8, I think it's either 8 or 9 touchdowns on 71 targets. So, like, right. He wasn't getting a ton of targets, but he was getting red zone targets. And if you're playing a deep DFS guy, that's all you want.
Yep.
So I like Bellinger a lot.
Hell yeah. And my last guy is like super deep. Like, he should make the team, but I got to watch the Dallas game on Friday night, and the announcers were comparing this guy to Jason Witten, which is a good comparison.
Hall of Fame comparison.
Yeah. Mr. Peyton Hendershot caught a touchdown. I think one of the main reasons they were comparing him to Witten is because during one of the plays he caught, his helmet came off and he kept going for like 5 or 10 more yards. it was a pretty exciting play to watch. But I don't know. You heard it here. If Peyton Hendershot becomes anything, you never know. And Dak likes throwing to tight ends sometimes.
He does.
There's a reason Dalton Schultz is fantasy relevant. Yeah. Nobody heard about him before last year.
And there was that year where they used both Schultz and Jarwin fairly relatively commonly.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jarwin kind of fell off the map. So Peyton Hendershot could carve a role to be that second or third tight end this year. We'll see.
So speaking of like roles and former Cowboy pass catchers, it seems like Cedric Wilson is not going to be the third wide receiver in
Miami.
In Miami, yeah.
Why?
Because he sucks. He hasn't been playing really? The firsts at all.
Okay, so outside of Waddle and Hill, who else is it?
With the ones in the last game, the receiver that caught them or that was on the field with all the starters all the time was Trent Sherfield,
from Frisco.
Yeah, who came from, you know, Mike McDaniel's old offense, and Cedric Wilson played with the twos, which, like, terrible sign for a guy that they're paying like $22 million for that he can't even become the wide receiver three.
No shit, right?
So,
which is kind of odd because Wilson looked decent at the latter half of last year when Cowboys had some injuries.
Yeah, when Cooper was still had like long COVID symptoms and shit like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like James Washington hasn't played yet for Dallas. He hasn't practiced yet.
That's right.
So like all these mid-range wide receivers look like they're busting. So we'll look at some steals. Maybe Jalen Tolbert goes somewhere.
Yeah.
Does something. Who knows?
We'll keep track and keep everyone updated.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty much all we got. But I do want to say before we go, you and I are drafting for your work league tonight.
Tonight? I know. Don't you have another draft today, too?
No. It got pushed to next weekend.
Oh.
So it got pushed to next weekend, like this morning. Oh. So then we have our big money league draft on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And we pick next to each other.
That's right. What am I, 4 or 3 or something?
3. We're 2 and 3.
Okay.
So we're going to be going head to head, back and forth. We're going to have to get some reaches. Like,
yeah, Yeah.
What I'm most excited for is our picks at the 2-3 turn. I think that's where it's going to get grisly.
I made an interesting decision. I'm regretting it now, but I ended up keeping Kelce instead of Henry. I don't know.
That's the right play. It's the right move to make.
Something tells me I just got a bad gut feeling about Henry this year, and especially the way he looked at the latter half of last year after coming back from that injury in the playoffs. He just didn't look like himself. And
the line's terrible. So
yeah, so I know Kelce is going to, I think I have to keep him as my first round pick, which is not great value because it'll be the number three overall. But
you weren't going to get the top two running backs because CMC and Taylor are both on the board. So you weren't going to get either of them at three. So what's the point? Cup's a keeper. Jefferson's a keeper. Chase is a keeper. Yeah. Najee's a keeper. There's not much there.
Right.
So, all right. So that's a little bit of football talk for you.
Yeah. Good episode.
Hey, by this time next week, 53 man rosters will be set.
Hell yeah.
Final cuts are on Tuesday. And then the first game is a week from Thursday. So we will be, the next time we talk to you, we'll be less than a week away from football.
Hell yeah.
Man, we did it. So that's pretty much it. For me, I'm Tony. This is Ryan.
For Ryan, I'm Ryan.
For Ryan, I'm Craig. and we'll see you guys next week. All 200 something of you. That's fucking weird.
Hell yeah.
Alright, have a good week.
We'll talk next week. Have some good football dreams.
Peace. Get me canceled by the Chicago sports media in Chicago.